Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves and this is part two, the final part, of the story of the life and times of Marjorie Collins. In part one, we learned that Marjorie was born in Horsham, Victoria in 1930 and had a happy childhood with a great relationship with her family, which included her grandparents. She became a teacher, but only for a short time when her husband, Alan, became a minister and she gave up teaching to support him in his job. Living and moving around Tasmania, in this program we learn how eventually they both returned to Victoria and how Marjorie became a qualified kindergarten teacher until Alan reached 65 and retired. It was Alan's retirement that led him and her to buying their first home, a permanent residence that was theirs. Marjorie talks about the travelling she and Alan undertook both overseas and within Australia and of the circumstances that led to Alan's tragic death. Now in the twilight of her years, Marjorie shares her observations on a long and fulfilling life and of the changes that she has witnessed. It's fair to say that she's content with her life and is very proud of her children and grandchildren and how the attitudes and values she and Alan shared have largely influenced her children. We pick up with Marjorie talking about her life with Alan in Devonport, Tasmania.
There was another minister at Devonport and his wife had a very nice voice and she used to sing and quite a lot of solos, so I'd play for her. Then we went to Deloraine and there was somebody else who needed a accompanist, so I played for her. Mm. Then we went to Hobart and there were people there who needed accompanists and I joined the choir and learned to play the organ and there was always something to do.
Moving to Hobart, was that seen as a promotion for Alan?
Oh, well, yeah, it was in a sense. He was second minister in the parish.
Right.
Hobart was the main one and yes. We were at South Hobart.
Oh, okay, yep.
Yeah. But just didn't think much about promotion. His main promotion, if you call it such, was when we came back to East Doncaster, then we moved to Ballarat and he was made chairman of the district, so that gave him oversight of a lot of what was going on around the place. Then we moved back to Horsham, would you believe?
Was that by design or
no, this is how it worked out.
You were appointed. Right.
To places after a certain time.
Yes, yes.
3 years or thereabouts.
So you're really always on the move in some regards.
Oh, yes. You know, people say to me, where do you live? Everyone around here has lived in Waverley all their lives, you know, just about. I say, well, what you would you like to know?
Yes, I can tell you where I was. Yes. Yeah. Was going back to Horsham pleasant?
Yeah, it was really interesting, actually. I didn't have anyone much left. I only had one cousin left in Horsham. Everyone else had gone, but it was interesting to go back.
In what way?
Well, Horsham hadn't changed all that much. When I went back to Horsham, they set me on a different track. They needed somebody to help in the church with the kindergarten kids. Mm-hmm. So I did help them. I met a friend in Horsham. We became firm friends and still are. And she said, well, you seem to be good at this. Why don't you go and do a kindergarten teacher's course? So I did.
Oh, good for you.
Mm.
And Alan was okay with that?
Yes, he was okay with that. It meant at that stage, we were living in Ballarat. Eastern Port Dorone, East Dorne. Oh, that's right, that's the bit I missed out. It was East Doncaster we went to first when we came back from Tasmania. And that's where I met this person who said, why don't you go and do a teacher's course? And I'd only just started it, and we got moved to Ballarat.
Oh, how does that work out?
Oh, it was awkward, but there was a kindergarten in Ballarat that needed a teacher.
Right.
So I got an appointment there at Sebastopol, and I used to drive the car backwards and forwards to Melbourne every month.
Wow, goodness. And that was to do the course?
To do the course, no more often than that. So I finished my course, and then it was after I'd finished my course we moved to Horsham, so I had to find another job. And fortunately there was a vacancy at one of the kindergartens, so I got another job at Felsted Avenue, and then we moved to Deep Dean in Melbourne.
Yes.
And I just didn't do much teaching at Deep Dean. And we finally retired to Hastings.
That was his last?
No, that was our house.
Your first house.
It was our first house.
After all those years, you've got your own house.
After all those years. So we gathered together all the money we could, and we bought a house at Hastings purely because we'd been down that way for a holiday, and we'd had a lovely time. We saw this little four units together that were for sale, so we decided we'd buy one, so we did.
Was Alan at the age where it was normal to retire, or did he...
No, he was ready to retire.
He was ready to retire. Mm. So what, was he in his 50s by then?
65.
65, okay, right. So all of a sudden you're in your own home and you can put roots down.
We're in Hastings for about 10 years.
That for you is a long time.
And then we moved, decided we were too far away from the family and, you know, be driving backwards and forwards all the time. So we moved here. This is Oak Tree Hill.
Oak Tree Hill Village. Okay. And I have to just say, very nicely laid out village it is as well. So how long have you been here now?
About 12 years, I think, to be now.
Right. So this would almost be the longest residence you've stayed in since you left your family home as a girl.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Listen to older voices. The magic of memories. I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm talking with Marjorie Collins. And Marjorie is recalling what life was like as the young bride to a newly ordained minister.
Did you and Alan do any travelling together?
My son went to Canada, and so we went to him in Toronto in Canada.
Did you enjoy that trip?
Oh, yes, can't remember much about it. And then we went across to England. And travel, had a look around London and everything.
Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Because London's a beautiful city.
Yes, but dirty.
Did you do any travelling around England or did you stay in London?
No, we didn't go far at all. Sort of poked around. We did go and stay up in Alice Springs for a while. One of the holidays that we did. We never had a lot of money.
No, well, the wife of a...
I understand.
No, well, it doesn't come with that job, does it?
I mean. And no, that's right. And that's one of the reasons I went back to work, so that we'd have a bit of money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy Alice Springs?
Yeah, it was an interesting place. It was interesting to see the rock.
Right.
Never climbed it or anything like that. We walked around it.
Good for you, a little bit of respect.
Which was a fair hike.
Yes, oh yes, yes.
You're not allowed to climb
it. No, you're not now. Because you weren't a spring chicken at that stage, were you?
No, we were both 70.
Yes. Yeah. How did you get there? By car, by train, bus?
We went up on the GAN.
That would have been a nice little adventure
itself.
Yeah, that
was interesting, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you get to see a bit of Australia that way,
yes,
don't you?
Well, it's not much to see.
Well, desert.
No, that was interesting. We went on the GAN and we just used... we walked around Alice Springs mainly, and around the river area was nice, and people used to camp in the river where it was dry.
Right, yes.
It's funny, I sort of haven't got a lot of vivid memories of it, except it was very pleasant.
Did Alan enjoy travelling like that? Was he a good traveller?
No, we were never great travellers because, well, for one thing, we couldn't afford it.
Well, that's true, yes.
So we went to one holiday, we went to Norfolk Island. That was nice. But, you know, we never ever managed to get around.
Well, okay, I hear what you're saying, but the same stage I'm going, hang on, you've been to Canada, you've been to the United Kingdom, you've been to Ayers Rock, you've been over... That's a lot of places other people never get to.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. You may not see it, but that's...
I haven't really thought about it like that.
No.
But
yeah. We're sitting together now, and I have to ask the obvious question, what happened with Alan?
Alan died... 6 years ago.
That's not that long ago.
January, no. He hadn't been well for quite a while. It was rather dramatic the way he died. He'd been in hospital and was having some heart trouble, and he seemed to be getting on all right, and came home. He was home from the hospital on Friday, I think it was. 2nd of January he died. Should be able to work it out on the top of my head.
Well, 6 years ago, it would have been roughly 2014.
Yeah, 6 years ago, that's right.
Yeah,
6 years ago this year. And we just had a nice lunch and everything on the Sunday.
Mm.
And he was going to go back to bed and have a lie down for a while. And I said to him, OK, I'll be there in a minute. And I went into the kitchen. He went into the toilet. I heard this almighty thud.
Oh.
And he'd fallen and he hit his head.
Oh, no.
Killed him on the spot.
Oh.
Tried resuscitation for a short time, but didn't go on and on. He always said, don't try and bring me around.
Yes.
And so he just died on the floor of the toilet. You know, I can't go in there now without thinking about it. Yeah.
That must have left an enormous hole in your life.
Oh, it did. Yeah, it did leave a hole. But like all these things, you
have to take them in your stride, don't you?
With them, yeah.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I've got a very caring daughter.
What's her name?
Ruth.
So she sees you fairly regularly?
Yes, I saw her yesterday.
Right.
I see her a couple of times a week. They, at the time, were living over at Wheeler's Hill, and that was why we came here, because Oak Tree Hill was the nearest village there.
Yes, yes.
To them, they don't live here any longer. They live but not very far away. I can drive to Fiji, just off Canterbury Road. Anyway, I see her regularly, and I've got another son who lives in South Caulfield, another one who lives in Pasco Vale, and my eldest son lives in Ballarat.
So, they've got four children, don't you? That's right, that's right. So you wouldn't see the one in Ballarat very often?
No, but he's very good. He rings me every week and looks after me very well.
Good children.
Got two sons.
So that's two grandchildren.
And Ruth's got a daughter and a son.
Two grandchildren. Do you have any others, or is that the two?
I've got six grandchildren.
Six grandchildren.
The youngest one's got a girl and a boy. And John's the only one who's never married. never will. Never met the right girl.
Well, there's still plenty of time.
No, he's 60.
Oh, no, there's not. That's okay.
No, he's fine.
The grandchildren, what are they like?
Well, I don't see them all that often, but they're all nice kids. Brian's two boys. One of them does a lot of photography and is sort of in that field, and the other one's getting towards the end of his engineering course.
So they're not little kids anymore, are they?
No.
So there's no great-grandchildren?
No, I'm never going to have any great-grandchildren, I'm sure.
Well, you've got grandchildren, you've got more than me.
And everyone around here has great-great-grandchildren. I got married too late.
Right.
That's all right.
Exactly, exactly.
Who cares?
You've seen a lot of changes in your life, haven't you?
I suppose I have, yes.
If you think back to what life was like when you were a young girl and what life is like now, it's quite different.
Yes.
But you say yes, you don't see that there's much difference?
Well, I guess there is a lot of difference in that everything's changed. You know, you can get places easily and people don't think anything of jumping on a plane and going overseas for a holiday and, you know, with the radio and the television, yeah, there's a lot of difference. But I wouldn't say that it's sort of done anything much to my lifestyle.
To your lifestyle, no. In that case, you're probably very fortunate in some ways.
Well, I think I probably am. Yes.
Because if you think about the general lifestyle when you were a young girl, kids could roam freely and they would, you know, parents didn't worry and they're things happen around us we didn't like. But given the way life is these days, people take lives in their hands if they walk out at night and go down the streets.
Yes, well, that's one of the things I don't do, of course.
No. So in that regard...
Well, I mean, society's changed. People are, on the whole, seem to be a lot less certain... A lot more uncertainty in life these days than there used to be. And lifestyles change and people travel more and change jobs more often, or they can't get work. That's the other terrible thing at the moment. It was a saying once that there'd be storms and tempests and disruptions of all sorts, and that means the end of the world. Not that I necessarily believe that, but the way things are heading with, you know, atomic bombs and all the terrible things that are
climate change,
the world,
and now we've got that disease that's flying around.
And the population increasing, and
yes,
you know, you just wonder what's going to happen.
Yes,
happen to the world in the end. Yeah.
You were brought up in a world that was a lot safer in so many ways, weren't you?
Oh yes, yeah,
and a lot more certainty.
Yes, yeah.
It must put a lot of stress on young couples these days, do you think?
I'd hate to be young and having to bring up a family these days. You'd wonder what was going to happen for them in the future. Mm.
Listen to Older Voices, revisiting through recollections.
When you look at the world around you, is it your world any longer? Is it the world that you were brought up in, do you think? Or has it changed that dramatically?
Oh, it has changed dramatically for a lot of people, but my particular personal world hasn't changed all that much. You know, I mean, I still knit and sew and have a house to live in, and I still go to church and I still have particular friends and I live in a safe place.
You certainly do.
And nothing's, you know, I really haven't got any great fears and worries. I've got enough money to live on and I know my family will look after me if I need help. And,
yes.
You know, so I really don't have any great complaints in that regard. Yeah.
It's a nice place to be, isn't it?
Yes.
There's a certain contentment with that.
I feel very fortunate that we moved when we did, before Alan died.
Yes.
Because we're already here and settled.
Which is interesting, isn't it? Because as a younger couple, you were on the move all the time.
All the time.
And there must have been times when you thought, oh, goodness me, it'd be nice just to stay in one place for a bit longer. And yet when it was really important, you were in that one place.
Yes. I think it gave Ruth, my daughter, itchy feet moving around. She's the one who sometimes says, I think must be time we moved again, you know. But she's settled where she is, so they're not likely to move again.
Mm. Because of your age, and you mentioned yesterday you had a fall, so life physically is not getting any easier for you.
No.
Is your mind still sharp, though?
I don't know about that.
Because sitting here talking with you, you are active, you're responding, you obviously still fairly keen and astute when you look around you. You seem to know what's going on very well.
Every now and again I find that I've forgotten something. Oh. But
hey, I've got a few years to catch up on you, and I'm forgetting things all the time. I think that's part of the ageing process, isn't it?
That's right. But no, on the whole, I think I've worn reasonably well.
What do you do at your age, and given your state of physical health, what do you do to keep yourself occupied and keep yourself, you know, interested?
I don't do a lot. I join in the activities over here. I play indoor bowls. Oh, that's something I never mentioned. We played a lot of bowls when we lived at Deep Dean. I was actually bowls champion for a few years.
Hiding your light under the bushel, aren't you?
I never gave a thought. Yeah. My husband and I played quite a lot of bowls. We enjoyed that. And we have an indoor group over here that every Tuesday we play indoor bowls.
Right. So that social connection is still important for you, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And they have dinners here, and I play the piano, and we have a song group every Friday afternoon. About 8 or 10 of us sit around the piano and sing songs.
So you play piano. You mentioned you still do sewing.
A little bit, not much, not with the machine anymore. And I don't find that as easy because I can't see as well. I used to make all the children's clothes and all my own, and I knitted a lot. And I can't knit properly any longer because my fingers, but I still do it a bit.
Well,
but nothing fancy anymore.
It can't be that bad if you can still knit a bit and still play piano. They're not locked up totally yet.
No, not totally locked up.
Yeah.
I can no longer sit down and play the pieces I used to be able to play, but I can play well enough for sing-alongs and things
That's important, isn't it?
Mm.
Living and dying are all part of being a human being, and I guess having been married to a man of the cloth, life and death has been part of your life together, because he would have seen a lot of ceremonies of people having to be buried. So living and dying really are part of being a human being. And you've seen a lot and you've witnessed a lot. The day will come when you pass away, because we all have to. We all have to eventually. When that day comes, how would you like your family and friends to remember you? They think about Marjorie.
Oh, I haven't really thought about it. Oh, I don't know. I think I just like to think that we'd had a good life together, really.
You and Alan.
Yeah. And that they were happy in their lives, and we all get along, you know. I sometimes regret the fact that Alan was a clergyman, but the kids have never really sort of stayed with it as much, although I still come to church with me occasionally. And Brian, the eldest, is very interested in community affairs and does a lot of work in that area in Ballarat. So, you know, some of the good values, I think, have rubbed off on them.
I'm sure they have. I think the fact that they may not have seen that they had a calling in a religious sense doesn't mean that the attitudes and values that you and Alan had.
They do other things, yes. Yeah.
And I mean, working, for instance, with a community service attitude really is embodies a lot of what the church is about, isn't it?
Mm, it's
about.
Yes. Yeah. That's the way Brian sees it anyway.
Mm.
I don't know about the other two as much, but...
But they have their own lives.
Oh, yes, they're fine, yeah.
I asked you at the beginning of the program, or close to the beginning, about your mum and asked her whether she was a good mum. Have you been a good mum?
Hopefully.
Have you had any complaints recently?
No.
That's a good sign then. No. Marjorie, our time is up. Can I thank you very much for being on Listen to Older Voices? It's been a delight speaking with you.
Yes, well, thank you for talking to me. I must say I'm a bit in fear and trepidation of hearing this back. You can edit it if you like.
Thank you again, Marjorie.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Turak Times.